This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by the Ready or Not Go-To Guides, created by us, Lou and Loz. Somehow it's 2025, and with that, you might be returning to paid work and starting to think about what that looks like. And that's exactly why we made the Ready or Not Go-To Guides, tackling breastfeeding and returning to work, postpartum and return to work planning, and childcare 101. Our guides are beautiful, easy to read, and filled to the brim with expert information. Take the guesswork out of returning to paid work and use the wisdom that we've learned from over 100 interviews with working mums. Get the guides now for $29 individually or $69 as a trio at readyornot.au. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work as mums. I'm Lou.
I'm Loz. Kicking things off with a good news story. New research from Ulster University Economic Policy Centre, sounds very profesh, found that working from home 2 days a week reduces sick days by 12%, reduces quitting by 35% with no cost to profit or performance. So the future is obviously hybrid. And I also have another one today because I got overly excited with good news stories. Recent data indicates that women now hold 42.7% of positions on Australian government boards. So we're nearly at 50%, the highest proportion since public reporting began in 2011. This reflects a concerted effort to enhance gender diversity in decision-making bodies. I thought that was a pretty bloody good one.
That's pretty good because that's nearly 50. Like you'll take a little bit on either side of 50-50. So I'm pretty stoked with that. I'm pretty stoked with that. I also love that fact. People should save that fact about working 2 days a week from home. Save it somewhere as data because, as you know, I love it when you bring me data to take to their employees as a reason of why you should let me work from home 2 days a week. Great way to start the show, Lozzie. What are we – oh, no, let's not get into what we're talking about today. I want some follow-ups, please. Valentine's Day, 20-week scan, tell me all.
Okay, so Valentine's Day was last week and Ryan was away, which honestly was, I mean, it's a gift in itself sometimes just to have
that extra time. I totally agree. Like watch whatever you want on TV when the kids go to bed. Read whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
It was quite cute, but he had done a really sweet thing which I wanted to share because often I mean, he's like, you always bag me out. And sometimes I do, but he's really great. He did a really sweet thing. He went to Coles, which is adorable, and bought bunting, like love heart bunting. And he's like, oh, can you hang it in Sienna's room for when she wakes up, which was very, very cute. And he left her a little handmade card, which was far nicer than the one that I got with a little chocolate love heart. And I was like, do you know what? I've said it in the Ask Ready or Not episode last week, but I'll say it again. I know that Valentine's Day is a big gimmicky BS day where we all praise our partners and our partners probably don't post about us.
I'm so but not I, Valentine's Day. Like I can't even relate to the praising thing. It just doesn't happen.
So many people do it. Like it's an influx. It's like, oh, happy Valentine's Day to me and my hubby and blah, 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 whatever. But I will say, I do think it is so important for girls and boys like to show them the standard early.
How you should be loved and supported and celebrated.
100%. And I know we say, it should be every day. It should be every day. Yes, it should be every day. I completely agree with that. We shouldn't have one dedicated day to like showing our family members how much we love them. But sometimes it's good to have a little reminder of why we do it. I also do the same thing for Zave. Because I'm like, I don't want my daughter getting like beautiful bouquet
like
and all this stuff.
It's not like infantilizing woman thing. It's like you just need to be
Zave
loved whoever you are.
He's like, what do I get? So I wrapped him a little truck with a red ribbon.
Oh,
and
well,
then
that's
just gave
the way
him
to
a
his heart.
Smoochy on the lips in the morning, just saying how much I love him. And obviously did the same for Sienna. But I wanted to say how sweet it was. And I also wanted to say my dad has Sienna on a Friday, which is obviously Valentine's Day. And I'm going to have to post some photos because it's so effing cute. Like my heart actually dies. They went out for ice cream and pizza together. And there is something so special about a grandparent and a grandchild and that bond.
That's
whether
so
or
beautiful.
Not it's a grandparent or just whether or not it's some special person in your life that's not your immediate family. I can't. Like, I have
I mean,
to
your dad is your immediate family.
he is. But I
if
mean,
you're listening, Jerry, I promise she loves you.
If you don't have grandparents that are actively involved, which many people don't,
we
perhaps
are both
it's a neighbor.
Very lucky.
We are. Perhaps it's a neighbor. Perhaps it's a close family friend. Perhaps it's just somebody that's not your partner. I think it's so sweet to see a bond between a child that's with somebody other than you. And
it's
to really
so nice.
See that blossom, it's so sweet. So anyway, I'll have to post that, but I thought that was adorable.
Oh, I love that. Watching my dad, particularly with Ray, because Ray's obviously the toddler. Posey doesn't give him that much yet. Watching them together is the best thing ever. I love it so much. And
yeah.
I know what you mean about Valentine's Day. It's my mum's birthday and I've always been anti-Valentine's Day. But what I will give it a bit of credit for is that when you're a working parent or just a parent, things just happen quickly. You don't notice things. So it is nice to stop and even just have a cuddle in the kitchen and say,
exactly.
Intimacy
That's exactly
matters.
Right.
So if Valentine's Day leads us to do it, we'll give it that. That's good. Tell
100%.
Us about your 20-week scan.
Okay, so 20-week scan. Had my 20-week scan. I wanted to say the things that have changed for me. So when I had my previous two children, with the scan, you had to request a 3D scan. I don't know if you had to do the same. With this one, it was automatically 3D. Did you have that?
Oh,
it really blew my mind.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
really
maybe I would have had to request. I feel like I remember vividly the 13-week scan getting the 3D thing. I don't reckon I had it for either at 20 weeks.
Okay. So this one was like automatically in 3D when I was looking at it. I was like, whoa, that's so
Which would
so
be particularly
freaky.
Amazing for a 20-week scan because obviously they're much further developed than a 13-week-old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know I said I'm obviously not finding out, which I will stick to. I'm not finding out. But so the sonographer said, oh, you're not finding out the sex, are you? I'm like, no. He said, oh, okay, overt your eyes for this particular moment because I don't want anything obstructing your view. I was like,
it's a boy.
It's a boy.
I reckon it's a boy.
Obstructing. Oh, obstructing.
God. Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like.
Yeah. The absence of a penis would not obstruct my view.
I'm like, gotta be a boy.
Oh
it's got to be a boy.
God.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I also think it's funny how you say you don't want to find out and then naturally, which is such a gender-specific thing.
Yeah.
He said to me, I'll probably say he just because that's what I normally do.
Yeah, because that's what doctors always have.
It's like,
as I've said on this exact show, it's like human is he and then there's this other species called women.
It's bizarre.
And then all the other types
it?
Of people that exist outside of that. It is really bizarre. It's like standard person is he. Male is it.
And one last thing on the 20-week scan. So for some reason, my body, my uterus is tilted backwards. So it can make it difficult to see certain things. I don't
You've
know.
You've been twerking, haven't you? You've been twerking too much.
I've been twerking. I've always had internal examinations. It's icky. It's a bit gross. It creeps you out. Whatever. It needs to be done. But I always think to myself, the first one I was a bit uncomfortable. I was like, well, Jesus Christ. What is that rod?
Get that out of me.
Like, what is going on? Yeah, but I, after like, you know, third time around, I'm like, oh, whatever. Everyone's seen it all. Who cares? May as well walk around naked.
So just to butt in, so you mean that even for your 20-week scan, they've always gone internal for you? They can't go just on the surface? That's really interesting.
No.
And it's about the shape of your uterus or where it sits?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's happened every time. They're always like, oh, we'll try the tummy first and if we can't get everything. And I was like, okay, like, I'll just wait.
Here we go again.
Yeah, and then I always find it so funny what people say. So the sonographer, is that the right name?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think so anyway. It'd be funny if we got through this and someone's like, no.
He was so uncomfortable. He's like, oh, so I'm just going to apply a gel, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like, been through it before. And then it's like they feel the need to like constantly talk while they've got this rod in you looking. I'm like, it's okay, pal. We're both in the same spot. I don't feel uncomfortable, but now your awkwardness is starting to make me feel weird.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, what's the movie where the gynecologist, he's saying, oh, I can't even think what the movie's called. I can't even think of who is in it.
Why are you asking me what's the movie?
Yeah, true. Yeah, if I don't know, no one knows. But he's like doing an examination. It's so gross. And he's obviously seen her sister who's had kids before, this girl who's the main character. I can't think of what the movie's called or who's in it. And he goes to her, oh, yeah, you do look like your sister. It's so gross. Ick.
It's so ick. Anyway,
that doesn't really relate to what you said, sorry, but just made me think of it.
Who's perhaps having their first baby and has to have an internal, you're not alone, my friend. I feel like it's uncomfortable the third time around still for everyone in the room. So
I never liked that. And as you know, I'm pretty good with medical stuff and I never liked the rod being inserted inside of me.
Oh, it's fucking
you don't get a kick out of it.
Nah, you
don't. It's cold and it's very hard.
It's so awkward. It's like this thin little wand. I'm like, oh, what are you doing?
And they obviously like through protocol have to over explain every step they're taking.
Yes.
But I'm like, we both know what's happening here. Like, you don't need to take me through all these steps. Just stop talking and get this show on the road. Show me my baby. How exciting. I love getting the 20-week scan ticked off. Good for you, Lozzie. What are we talking about today? Love on the clock, navigating workplace romances in the modern office. And what would you go back and tell your 20-year-old self? I finally listened to that Call Her Daddy episode with my girl, Jane Fonda, and it had me thinking about what I'd go back and tell my 20-year-old self. So I'm going to ask you the same question. Take it away, my friend.
Love on the clock, navigating workplace romances in the modern office. Couldn't help myself. With Valentine's Day, I just couldn't stop thinking to myself, how many people meet each other through work?
Or how many people are ducking off to the bathroom? Sorry, that is inappropriate.
That is.
Like, you're like, yeah, exactly.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, nah. Yeah, no. So I wanted to do a bit of research on it because I thought the older you get, like when you actually think about it, the more likely you are to meet someone through work because that's where you're spending 100%. Your time.
You're not socializing as much. It's not like partying every Friday and Saturday or whatever. That is so true. There's less space to meet new people.
Andrew, you spend a lot of time at work. Like a lot.
Like I reckon that a syndrome, like sometimes, don't get me wrong, real love is born out of office relationships. But sometimes it's like the syndrome of like you just end up spending a lot of time with this concentrated group of people. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. So office romances, once a hushed topic, are now a prevalent aspect of workplace culture. But how common are they? What implications do they have for individuals and organisations? Let's begin with how common workplace romances are in Australia specifically. I wanted to know because all these stats are US. I'm like, nah. Every Tom, Dick and Harry in the US is fooling around in the office. I want to know about Australia. We're a bit more PC over here.
We're coy.
According to Relationships Australia, how amazing is that organisation?
I love that there's an organisation.
So do I.
Is it like a government body?
I don't know, but it's great. Approximately 40% of individuals aged 35 to 50 meet their partner at work.
That is staggering.
Staggering. So this suggests that the workplace is a significant venue for forming romantic connections, especially for those in this age bracket. However, a SEEK survey indicates that only 30% of Australians have been involved in a workplace relationship. So you see the discrepancy there?
Yeah, I do. A bit of
naughty going on there.
Oh, so there's about 10% of fucking cheating. What?
Yeah, dogs. Absolute dogs. This discrepancy may be due to differences in survey methodologies. I mean, maybe. Or the specific demographic surveyed, maybe. But interestingly, despite these figures, only 38% of Australians believe it's acceptable to start a romantic relationship at work. So this highlights a potential tension between the occurrence of workplace romances and the social attitudes that people have towards them. When it comes to perceptions, 58% of employees find workplace romances acceptable between workers of the same level who rarely or never work together. However, acceptance decreases to 27% for romances between workers of different levels who frequently collaborate. So this indicates that while peer relationships are more tolerated, power dynamics play a crucial role in acceptance. I found that fascinating.
That is interesting.
So despite the prevalence, only 18% of individuals disclose their office romances to their employer. I'm going to ask you questions about this in a minute. And 71% of employers don't require such disclosures. So this lack of transparency can lead to challenges, especially if the relationship affects workplace dynamics. My question to you, I have a number because I couldn't help myself but like really get involved in this article. Would you feel comfortable having a romantic relationship with someone at work? And why or why not?
Oh, that is such an interesting question. I think it would give me
I'm not talking about anxiety.
No, I'm picturing, but I'm pretending it's Hayden. He's not a builder. He also works at Cricket Australia.
You're we're single.
Fall in love, what happens? I'm picturing this as literally Hayden, but that's where we met. It's a very interesting one because if I fell in love with someone and I was single and I thought this might be my partner, there's no way that I wouldn't explore it, whether that's right or wrong. There's no way. I'm not someone that can like shut off from love. I'm not practical enough for that or like logical enough for that. I would find my way to that person if I felt like we were falling in love and there was an actual future there. I wouldn't feel comfortable about it. I would be nervous as fuck. I would have to tell, it'd be like telling my boss that I was pregnant. I reckon I'd have to tell them pretty quick smart. Yeah. I'd have to, I don't know, come to them with reasons as to, I don't even know. How do you explain that? It would so depend on the dynamic of the team. I would really hope that we weren't working in the same team. I think that is fraught. Like, I think that is a real challenge. But no, I wouldn't feel comfortable about it. But would I still do it if I was falling in love with someone? Absolutely. What about you?
Oh, for sure I would. As in, I wouldn't even second guess myself. If I met someone at work and I was single, single being the prevalent word, I feel like if you're in a relationship, you need to really reconsider what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, maybe leave your partner and I'm then not condoning, start the relationship. Yeah. Like,
absolutely why not people condoning do that? That.
Stop cheating. Just I leave don't the know. Relationship you're not happy in.
Yeah, agreed. Don't know. Find it revolting. Understand it happens though, but I just personally, I couldn't get past that. But if I was single and I met someone at work, I think naturally it makes sense because you've already got things in common, which is work, right?
Yeah.
You've got something to talk about off the cuff. This person's a peanut. Oh my God, monthly reporting's due. How are you finding it? Like there's a natural conversation there, which
it's
in fairness,
such an aphrodisiac, everything you're saying too. Like how could you not fall in love?
No, but in fairness, when you first meet someone, when you're on a date, you've got to go through those icebreaker awkward questions. It's like, oh, so where do you live? Or, you know, blah, 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 blah. Even if it's on Tinder or wherever, you still got to ask the questions that you're like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Whereas you find it that really naturally. That's an interesting point.
Yeah. And then you have something in common to kind of start the conversation so it doesn't feel as awkward, even if it's about work.
Would you feel comfortable about it, though? Because that's what the question was. So I'm really interested to know how you would feel about it.
I would feel pretty comfortable about it. If that person wasn't within my immediate team, I think if they're in your immediate team, I don't even know how you'd have to have the conversation, but you would. You'd have to have it with your manager and be like, look, this is a situation that we're in. I wouldn't apologize for it. I wouldn't be like, oh, sorry. But I'd be like, just disclosing this information because it's the right thing to do. And that's kind of as far as I'd go.
Do you think 71% of employers don't require such disclosures because they've overtly said that or because they haven't actually considered it in like company policy yet?
I don't think they've considered it properly in company policy. So this is my next question. What do you think about workplace relationships where one person is in a position of power over the other? So let's just say you've got somebody that started, maybe they're like an analyst level.
And let's go the cliche. Let's go older man, younger woman. Like let's just really buy into the cliche.
But these days, but
yeah,
I
not that
say
it would always be like that. Yeah, yeah, totally.
No. But even these days, I would say people are getting to positions of directorship, not CEO, but like MD, general manager, whatever, at a much younger age, particularly for scaling companies. So that person, for example, could be 40 years old and that employee starting their career could be 24, 25, which I know 15 years sounds like a big age gap when you're 25, but let's say you're 40 and you're dating a 55-year-old, it doesn't seem as big. Yeah. So let's just put it in perspective from that point of view. What are your thoughts about it? Like, do you think organizations should have more guidelines around these situations? Do you think it is abusing positions of power? Do you think it has to be spoken about? Like, do you change your mind?
It's such an interesting and nuanced conversation because 22-year-old Lucy 10 years ago would have just said, that's disgusting. No way.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't tolerate that. It's so dependent on the situation. I am less judgmental the older I get of relationships that have a decent age bracket because whatever, if both people are happy and there is no power dynamic, fine, you do you, you've fallen in love, whatever. Where it gets a little bit murky is if there's a vulnerable 24-year-old who's in a relationship with a powerful, cocky man, or the other way around, a powerful, cocky woman, and they're the younger sort of person in the office. Or as soon as there's a yucky power dynamic, I don't like it at all. But if these are two consenting adults, two independent adults, where there's obviously a power dynamic in terms of roles, I don't know. I think there's situations where it's disgusting and I would not like it and I would think there's an abuse of power. And I think there's situations where these people unfortunately just fell in love. Yeah, they're in different stages of life, but I tried to be less judgmental about that over time because, I mean, Hayden's 5 years older than me and it's, I mean, I know that's not heaps, but we're not the exact same age. So who am I to judge someone for dating someone 10 years older? What I don't like is the power dynamics in the situation of this person's the boss and this person's junior. I do think that can, in a lot of situations, in more than less, bring an abuse of power, whether that's an overt abuse of power or a really subtle one. I'm not sure. I think it's a real case by case. What about you?
I think there has to be a requirement for disclosure from that person in a more senior
level. Oh, I agree. Sorry, I didn't even answer that bit. I agree with you. That definitely needs to be disclosed because also I think there's almost a duty of care from the workplace to make sure the
situation is
a healthy one, or I don't know the word, but sorry, keep going, but I agree with that.
I completely agree. I think there needs to be organisations need to have guidelines in place for what happens if that situation does arise. So you need to alert HR. There needs to be perhaps for performance reviews, if you sit within the same team or if it's an overarching team, there needs to be a member of HR present to make sure that it's evaluated fairly. All of those things I think need to be taken into consideration. And I would also say it's not if the situation is really good and goes well. I think the company also needs to protect themselves and their employees for when the situation, or if the situation, turns pear-shaped.
And I would say if there's a difference in age and a difference in roles, it's probably very likely to end pear-shaped, let's be honest. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't, but a lot of the time it would. If you're more equal, I'm sure it probably has a better chance of surviving. But the power dynamics and difference when there's a bit of a difference in roles, it probably is fraught with danger.
Yeah, I completely agree. I do wonder, though, whether when it comes to the onus of who has to report on it or who has to say something, for me personally, I'm it has to be the person at a more senior level.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be an onus. I mean, I do. I think both people should come forward, but I don't think there should be this huge amount of pressure on a person who's more junior to be like, oh, I'm having a relationship with this manager. I think the duty of care needs to be on the manager.
That's an interesting one.
If you're in a position of power, I think you need to say it. I don't think you should be like, oh, but I thought they were going to say it. It's like, nah, mate. It's like an adult child. I'm like, but if you're further up the pecking order, you have to say something.
No. I feel like it almost needs to be both coming at it together, because then just say something did go wrong along the line. You don't want it to have come from the person of power who could potentially abuse that power and abuse their position. I almost think you both need to go.
I hadn't thought about it
individually. I agree with you that the onus shouldn't be placed on the more junior person, because as we know, they are way more vulnerable in this situation in every single capacity.
Yeah, but can we get this week?
I hope I'm not sounding too gossipy, but I'm pretty keen on people's juicy workplace relationship stories.
Me
too. Tell us the ones that have worked too. I want gorgeous romance,
I know so many people that met their partner through work and end up getting married and having a family, and they no longer work together. But I also find it so bizarre. So I met a girl at my work the other day and we were just talking about parental leave, and she's like, oh, it's so good because my husband also works here and he gets the same amount of parental leave. I'm like, what do you mean?
Now, you might not even run into each other at an organization of that size, right, though. So it also
depends. They never do. But I'm like, how weird is that? You both are on the train and you both go to the same office. And then you say goodbye.
Do you get a different train
together? I don't know.
That would be dependent on whether you had kids or not. Before kids, it'd be like, let's go get a coffee together. And then after, it'd be like, I love you so much, but I'm getting the next one.
Imagine that. Imagine when you're like, the kids are sick and you're like, I can see you on Teams. I can see you're available. Go pick them up. Don't try and dodge me. I can see your calendar. Literally, I have access to it.
I have access to it.
You go pick them up.
It.
That would be
like
so dangerous
for me. Version of Find My Friends.
Yeah. I'm like, you're active. Get out of here. Your turn.
And you're probably just moving your mouse. Get out.
I reckon I'd be the type of person that I am quite intense, obviously. And I couldn't help myself. If Ryan and I worked together, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing for lunch? And if he's like, oh, I'm too busy, I've got a meeting, I'd be like, oh, that's okay, I can wait. What time are you finished? He'd be like, oh, my God.
I will find you. Oh, my God, Loz. You're already stressing me out and you don't even work with him.
I know. This is why.
I have another meeting.
Yeah. But, ladies, if you are maybe, in the midst for looking for a partner, turns out the place to look for them is in your own workplace.
It's in your sterile poorly lighted, depressing workplace. No, I'm kidding. That's not the general consensus. Slay the day at the office and find some romance. What would you go back and tell your 20-year-old self? Lozzie, today I'm talking less so about motherhood and more so about womanhood. Jane Fonda appeared on Call Her Daddy, and they had a very interesting conversation on womanhood, authenticity, climate change, eating disorders, and how much more evolved our generation and also the generation below us are in terms of knowing ourselves. And like, maybe sometimes we're too self-studious, who knows? But basically she was like to her, what, you're 28 years old, you're amazing. Like, you're a genius. How do you know so much about yourself? I knew nothing about myself at that age. She mentions that it wasn't really until she was 60 that she felt like she started to really know herself and learn some stuff. And I'm going to play a clip here, and then we're going to talk about what we tell our former selves.
Young women in their 20s right now that are listening, what is the biggest lesson you learned in your 20s and how did you learn it?
Oh, in my 20s, I was starting to be a movie actor. I suffered from bulimia very, very bad. I led a secret life. I was very, very unhappy. I assumed I wouldn't live past 30. I'm 85. I don't understand. Well, I do. I worked hard. I didn't go out. I didn't hardly date. Because I was unhappy, and I had this eating disorder, and then I was also making movies that I didn't very much like. And then the Vietnam War got me, and changed my life.
When you say you were living a secret life, are you talking about the eating disorder?
Yes.
Now, I've obviously only shared a short snippet there, but I strongly recommend listening to the whole thing. I'm sure Alex Cooper will thank us for giving her very small podcast a huge spike just from mentioning it on ours. I especially loved the piece about climate change. It's something that I find really hard to talk about on this show because I know postpartum people and pregnant people are particularly like emotionally vulnerable, and it's a really hard thing to talk about. I'm not going to go on about it, but really please go on and listen to what she says about climate change, because the window for us to do something meaningful is closing. I'm not going to say any more, going to leave it to the absolute legend that is Jane Fonda on that. But let's get back to topic. Loz, what would you go back and tell your 20-year-old self? It doesn't necessarily have to be motherhood related, but about just growing up as a woman in the world.
Couple of things. I would tell myself not to place so much pressure on myself around my body, because inevitably, as the years go on, it is going to change. And in fact, I will become far more comfortable with what it looks like, and I will be nowhere near as slim and fit as I was in my 20s, and yet that's okay. I would also, I mean, this is a bit of a controversial one, I think, but I would also say don't place so much pressure on yourself with study.
Oh, that's not, I couldn't agree more, not controversial. Take a load off.
Like, take a load off. I look back at my high school and university years, and I had a great time, don't get me wrong, probably some of the best years of my life. But I was so hyper fixated on results and getting a good VCE score, which is now called your ATAR, and getting good grades at uni, like making sure I got a distinction or whatever so that I could get into a master's or whatever it was that I wanted to do. And then I reflect back upon it now, and I would genuinely say to my children, I mean, I know this is controversial, babe, don't do a degree. If you're a generalist and you're not a specialist, save your hex debt and get into the workforce and learn on the job. Because once you've got that first job, no one gives a shit about what qualification you have. And if you really want to get a qualification, by the time you're in a job, most of the companies will pay for it, or they'll do like a online learning course, a micro learning course, which is going to give you so much better practical information than wasting hours on boring lectures that leave you with the $25,000 hex debt that you'll be paying off for the next 10 years of your life. It is such a waste of space. Enjoy your youth. This is the time of your life in year 12 where you get to kiss girls or boys, go underage clubbing and just use a bit of a fake ID.
Oh, how good is
that? Just be a bit cheeky.
I was Nicole under my fake ID. Apparently she actually, I won't say her last name, apparently she was a drug dealer.
How good. Do you know what I mean? Like, you get to wear short skirts, short tops, show your
body
abs,
cons,
like,
body cons.
Go out.
God,
go
I used to
out.
Go to boutique in body cons with the highest heels. Ew, I don't even recognize that person anymore.
go out and enjoy your life. I'm not saying
R&B Thursdays. And what was the one Viva? Like? No, oh, that was good, but that was more your time than me. That was starting to wane off. What was the one? Oh, just while we're on it, let's stick to Melbourne clubs.
What was
the
one near the Tan?
Oh, they were good too. The one near the Tan, like near sort of Queens Way. What's it called? If anyone can remember, tell us. I reckon it was a little bit more like, I reckon you just missed that. It was like the 5 years younger than you vibe. But Cuba was huge for your time. Hayden loved
it. It wasn't Eve.
It wasn't Eve, but I remember Eve too.
The light up floor.
What was it called?
Seven. Was it seven?
Seven.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't want to reveal myself.
I've trod my feet there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done a few slut drops on that dance floor. Okay. We've really got off topic here, but that was fun.
But I would say, like, I'm not saying don't be studious and have some form of work ethic.
No, and like some degrees are necessary. Like, we're not saying that, like, some things need to be studied. But
yeah, correct.
Take a load off.
But take a load off. I mean, the amount of pressure now that we're also seeing, I mean, we never had this, I certainly didn't, that we're seeing on young teens, tweens, I mean, children as young as eight are starting to develop eating disorders from social media. Kids have enough pressure, mate. Like, there is so much pressure that we're not even speaking about. When it comes to academic pressure, there are so, so many pathways to get into the role that you want. Be studious, work hard, but for Christ's sake, like I would say to myself, chill out, mate.
Find balance.
Find balance. Enjoy your life. Don't worry about getting an A+. Don't worry about submitting a fucking essay every week. Like, stop torturing yourself. Your life is going to work out just fine. You just got to get that first job, which I did, and it'll open other doors. What else would I say to myself? Oh, my God, so much stuff. I mean, the typical one is like, wear sunscreen. Yeah, yeah, should have done that. Shouldn't have gone to the solarium, but I did. I mean, I did enjoy it too. I loved it.
They're illegal now, luckily. So that's good.
Oh, it was nice. I'm not really sure what else I would say. You know what else I would say? I mean, this is an interesting one. I would also say your problems are going to seem so insignificant when you're older. Don't spend too much time dwelling on them because
I was just thinking about, like, I cried at the end of my English exam that I got an A4 in year 12 and I thought that was the end of my life. So you've just like woven two examples of what I would go back and tell myself from what your wisdom is of life. Don't take yourself too seriously when you're studying and that won't matter one day. Like, it doesn't matter.
It won't. But it's also like friendships and stuff. Like, friendships, the older you get, they come in like waves, right? Sometimes you're really connected. Sometimes you're really not. Your family can be the same. Like, sometimes you're really tight with your family. Other times you're fading apart. Everything, I'm not saying that everything works out this way it's supposed to, because some things just don't, and that's a bit of a shame. But also, like, you're on the right path. Whatever path you're on is going to be the right path, and you'll look back and be like, okay, either I messed up there and it's a learning, or I'm so glad I took that opportunity. Like, go with the flow a bit more. That would be my
bloody
former speaking to myself. Yeah, what would you say?
Very similar train as you. Very similar track. Is that the saying? I don't know. Definitely the eating and body pressure one. A photo came up of me the other day. I look skeletal. And I remember as a uni student just being fixated on what I ate. I don't think I had an eating disorder, but I think I had disordered eating 100%. I put way too much pressure on what I looked like in terms of weight. I don't think I necessarily did in other ways. Like, I wasn't really a makeup girl or that sort of thing, but I definitely always wanted to be skinny. And what a fucking waste of time. It's interesting though, even telling myself that now, like, I am at the moment not anywhere like that, but I am a little bit ashamed of my postpartum body the second time around. So it's almost like I need to tell myself that to remind myself of that today too. My next one would be, do not keep acting as though this is a man's world and you need to follow suit. I reckon as a teenager and a 20 something girl, I really focused on being a boy's girl, on boys liking me, on making my language the sort of language they'd want to hear and making sure they knew I loved footy and all of that stuff. I have very close male friendships and I always have, but now I don't actually try and be who they want me to be. I'm just myself and they love me anyway because they're my friends. So that's something else I would tell myself. And lastly, this has just come to me now based off what you said. I really, really wanted to be a journalist and I'm sort of finding my way back there, but funnily enough, I was a pretty confident young kid, but I didn't think that I was smart enough to be a journalist. I didn't think I was that next level of smart. I knew I was book smart and all of that sort of stuff, but I didn't think I was real world smart. So I didn't fight for it enough. I just didn't go for it enough. And it's really still what I wanted to do. And I don't regret my life. I don't regret my path. And I love what we're doing now. But I would say take your actual passions more seriously. Like, don't just go to uni, as you're saying, to do the thing that you think you should do. Take yourself seriously. If there's something you really love, you will find a way to do it. As Estelle Greepink recently said on Ready or Not on an interview, she's a Channel 7 news reporter. And she's like, I was really book smart. And when I got to uni for journalism, I realized that actually the people that were really going to thrive weren't necessarily the smartest people in the room. They were like, yeah. Journalism's a trade. And I think that same logic can be applied to so many parts. Like, don't not take yourself seriously on something that you love to do. They are my three tips. I want to finish on something really gorgeous that Jane Fonda said. Actually, there's two things I want to finish on. I think I mentioned this to you in a voice memo. Alex Cooper isn't someone that's really been in my periphery that much. And when I saw the vibe of her podcast, I thought, I'm going to admit and out myself here. I thought, blonde LA chick that seems a little bit tacky. And what I realized I was doing was totally undermining what this incredible 20-something woman has done. She has built an absolute empire. She's having incredible conversations. And I was just touting her as this blonde, dumb chick, which is sometimes how I even treat me, and that I worry how we'll be perceived, even though I think of you as one of the most intelligent people I know. So firstly, I want to pull myself up on the bias there of not crediting her for what she's done, getting Jane Fonda on her podcast, for example. That's my first part. Second part is what Fonda says in this convo that I want to end on, because I feel like it's a big why of what you and I do and why we do it. She talks about the difference between men's friendship and women's friendship. She says that men sit side by side and they look out at sports, at women, at all sorts of things. Women look at each other and relate emotionally. And I just think, like, it almost brings me to tears that I just think that's so beautiful. And that's why we talk and why we share and why it's important to share your motherhood journey with someone next to you. Look at each other, take it all in, listen to each other, learn from each other. And yeah, that's just something I wanted to end with. Very corny from me today.
It's not corny. See, I think this is the other thing. It's not corny because you look at the friendships that you have, and the older you get, you're like, this is why it's so important to surround yourself with not heaps of people, but a small select group of few that you really rely on. You share your like deepest inner thoughts with, because if you don't have that, and like as much as male partners in this case are great, they don't have in many situations.
Until that sort of changes. Yeah.
Exactly. The level of depth that your female friends are going to have. Like,
yeah.
Sorry, but they
one day, hopefully they will. But at the moment, let's be fucking honest. A lot of them don't. Some do, but unfortunately, the vast majority of straight men do not.
Do not. Yeah, exactly. And on that note, if you have loved today's episode, please leave us a review. Every review counts. We read them all, even if they're a bit more constructive, we still love them. And follow us on readyornot.pod. Get part of, be involved in the conversation. I mean, we love hearing from you. And I mean, we also just love hearing any saucy stories. So if you've got
any shit, give us the sauce.
Till next week. See you then.